For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. This is the only podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered perspective of what it's really like to be a professional cheerleader. Whether you're currently on a pro team, an alumni, or really curious about what it takes to become a pro cheerleader, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast gives you all the inside scoop and hot topics in the pro cheerleading industry and in-depth interviews of current and former cheerleaders. I'm your host, Makiba. Join me every Wednesday as I reveal the truth behind the palms.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm resting my stuff from
I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you for taking the time, Kayla. I'm kind of just extra buzzy with excitement. So everybody, I'll just kick off the show because I always do this. I'll be talking and then I'm like, okay, I haven't even introduced my guest. So you guys, today I'm so freaking pumped. I'm still on my high from being in Brooklyn at the game. I just love coming to see you guys. I have Kayla Cruz here. She is one of the captains of the Brooklyn Nets. And I've been really shy about asking this woman to do an episode with me. And I finally said, you know what? To hell with it. I'm back doing interviews. I'm about to ask. And she was so graciously like, yes, let's go. So welcome to the show, Kayla.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here and so excited to see what we cook up and just sharing my experience, my knowledge. And just talking about the NBA culture, dance culture. We love it. We live it. We love it. I'm so excited.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to get into it. Let's get into just your number of years of experience on the team and your number of years as a captain, because we are going to have a little bit of a theme of just like your leadership style and just like the demands of being a captain, especially for NBA. I know there's multiple captains, but just give me your little spiel of how long you've been a Brooklynet.
Yeah, so I've been a Brooklyn Net for 5 years. I actually first auditioned in 2018 and then made the team in 2019. So I auditioned 1 year, didn't make it, made the team in 2019. And that, of course, was the COVID year, which was so weird. And like, you know, just we know how that went, right?
Yes, all of the time. So
I made it during the COVID year and then I've been with the team ever since. And then I was chosen to be captain last season, 2022-23 season. So this is my second year as captain of the Nets.
Wonderful. Okay. So let's just get into, before we circle back to the leadership stuff, like what's your dance training and background and like, how did you end up preparing for the crazy Brooklyn Nets audition? Like that process, I remember interviewing Chrisia and it was like, oh my God, like this sounds so hard. And so intimidating and all of the things. So anyway, tell us your background and your training and then into that audition process.
All of the things. I was actually growing up as a competitive dancer, you know, competition dancer. My mom and my aunt were my dance teachers growing up, actually. So they taught me everything I knew. And, you know, like I said, I only knew the competition world. I only knew learning choreography and performing it. So growing up in that world and then eventually transitioning into the professional dance industry was like a complete 180. I had no idea what was going on. When I tell you, I joined the industry and actually got signed to a talent agent when I was only 17. So I really had no idea what was happening. But, you know, growing up, I actually knew of the Brooklyn Nets and knew of the New Jersey Nets. And then when they had come to Brooklyn in 2012, I just knew that the dance team itself was on the rise. They were getting a lot of energy. They were like blowing up. And I remember one of the women that was on the team actually came to my studio to teach us. And I was like awestruck. She was just so beautiful and carried herself so beautifully, spoke so beautifully, taught us so well. And I was just like, I want to be here when I grow up. That was like my first experience of what the Brooklyn Nets was like for me. I actually auditioned for the New Jersey Nets kids. And, you know, again, I had like no training. So it was more so like my competition background, just trying out and like trying new things when I was younger, because I had always dreamed of being a professional. But it wasn't one of those things that was possible in my eyes. It was like a dream, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So being able now to have the resume that I have at only 24 years old is just honestly a dream come true. And every single day I look back at like what I had wanted for myself and where I am now, and just compare the two and marry them together, and I'm like, wow, I did that. Like, wow.
I can't believe it. I mean, and that's why I like hearing people's journey, because it's like sometimes it starts from a dream. Sometimes it's like people can't even imagine what they're capable of accomplishing until they like reflect on it and they're like, well, dang, like that. Or listening to that like gut inside of yourself that says, you know what, I'm drawn to this, even if I got rejected in auditions, like I'm supposed to be this person, like this is what I'm meant to do.
Yeah. And I feel like for me at a very young age, I knew I was meant to be on stage. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I had no idea anything going on. I had no connections, no mentors. I was literally thrown to the wolves. And I remember being on like one of my first professional dance jobs, and like I knew nobody. I had no idea what it was. I didn't even know I had to wear all black to these things. So I had to like go out to the store, pick up black leggings. I was like, I don't know what's going on. So it was kind of, for me, I knew I had it in me. And it was kind of built in me. But the way my life turned around was like I was kind of thrown in it. And everything I learned is from self-experience, which I'm very grateful for. It would have been great to have a mentor to teach me these things. But, you know, that's what I feel like my next calling in life is, where I now have the experience for myself. And now I can share that with other women, other men, whoever want to get into the industry, to make that dream a reality. Because I made it a reality for myself, even though I didn't know where I was going at 8 years old. But now that I'm here, I'm able to share that with other kids, other people.
I love that. That's what it's all about. It's like that reach
Absolutely.
Back, trying to provide some mentorship for people to have a little bit of a guide. And I know it cuts both ways, where people talk about like, all these younger ones have it so easy. They didn't go through X, Y, or Z. And it's like, okay. I mean, you can have that mentality around it. And it's not about necessarily making it easier. It's just helping people achieve their dreams and knowing mistakes they can avoid, or just like a path to consider for themselves. So I love that you want to give that and share that with others.
Yeah. Little things here and there. And I think one thing that was so transformative for me in my life was becoming a Brooklynette. And I feel like my experience there, you know, I joined the team when I was only 19. So in my eyes, I was a kid, loved to dance. I had trained so hard for it, because after auditioning for the first year, I was like, okay, I feel like I have a guide for myself. Now I know where I have to work. Now I know what I have to pursue in my training, and I can take that for the next year with me, and then go into the audition next year and have that confidence and be over-prepared, be over-trained to know what I'm in for and not be afraid to be seen. And I feel like for me, that's one thing going into the audition, especially for the next, because like you said, it is a process. It is a 4-day process. So I was able to take that experience and, you know, really work for it for the next season and come into it knowing what to expect and knowing how to show up as my best self.
Yeah. So what were the areas? I mean, you're so well-rounded and awesome as a performer. What did you identify as like the things that you needed to develop further to show up at auditions? Because I think that process of, you know, knowing yourself, kind of being able to do your self-evaluation. I talk about it all the time. Like, you just have to be real with yourself and know where you're lacking and where you need to kind of like build yourself up. So you don't have to say what it is, but like, how did you kind of figure out like what you needed to focus on?
I am a firm believer that self-awareness is key. And if you are in this industry, if you want to get into this industry, you have to be able to identify your strengths and mostly identify your weaknesses on where you want to work at to achieve your goals, right? And just in general, that goes for anything. But for me personally, I knew I was a great performer. I'm naturally a great performer. I love to be on stage. It's just so much fun to me. And sometimes it's a joke and I'm just like living my life and going for it. And that's just what works for me, right? But one thing that I always lacked in was my strength and my endurance and my stamina. Oh. So going through that process, especially when it comes to like, you know, the athletic combination that we learn, you know, doing the head springs and the kip ups and the V sits and 8 counts of 8, I was like, whoa, I was winded. You know, that first year when I had kind of thrown myself into the audition, I was like, I don't think I'm cut out for this. I was like, I don't think I could do this. But, you know, after some time, I realized, okay, I just have to train. I just have to work towards it. If this is something I want, this is something I have to work towards. So for me, what it looked like to be on the net, one thing I knew I had to work on was my endurance, my stamina, and my strength. I was a great dancer. I have a great movement quality. You know, we each have our own star quality on the team in different ways, which is why we're so unique and different. But I think that for me, I knew I had to just train. So when I was exhausted, I can dig deep down into those like muscles to like push me through that last count of 8, as opposed to like crashing and burning. You know what I mean? So self-awareness is key in that sense.
Love that. Let's just give people, just in case they didn't listen to Brooklyn's Finest, I think was the name of Chrissia's episode, just a little mini recap of that audition process, just so we level set of what we're even talking about here, and then talk us through the year that you made it.
Yeah. So it is a 4-day process. The Brooklyn Next Audition is a 4-day process. We have an open call the first day.
4 days in a row or 4 days?
4 days in a row. Yep.
Oh, snap. All crammed together.
Okay. Back to back. When I tell you, I don't know who started this process like this, but they were testing us, okay? They were testing us. And I appreciate that test and I appreciate that challenge because it really does prep you for what to experience throughout the season, which we'll get into for sure.
Okay.
So it is a 4-day process. First day we come in, it's an open call. We usually have like 300 to 400 women show up. And it's big. And then there's 2 rounds the first day. We do an across the floor combination. And then we do a heels round to see how well you move in your heels technique. We make 2 cuts. And then the second day we come in, which is, I think the second day is the scariest day.
Is that when you guys come in looking all like,
yes, yes, when the vets come in
and they are all dressed alike? It is very much intimidation station, like,
yes.
Okay,
and it's so funny because the vets come in and, you know, in our minds we're vying for our spot too, you know. Yeah. Like, it's so true what they say, our spots aren't safe no matter what happens. Like, what happens at the audition will determine who makes the team that year. The best of the best will make it. So, you know, we're all vying for a spot. So we try to come in, you know, we're a united front, yes, but it's like, you know, we have a little nerves in the back of our stomach too. We're in there. But the vets come in. We only have 1 round that day. But sometimes they do 2 or 3 cuts, in which we create our group of finalists. So it's usually a hip hop round, and then we create our finalists that will go into days 3 and 4. Now day 3 is our boot camp day. So we learn our athletic combination, but we don't audition the athletic combination. So you just go in and you learn it, which is pretty much 8 counts of 8 of straight trips. This is the one that got me. I can tell you that. Oof.
It's just straight, all of it. So you don't perform it. You just have to learn it. That's interesting. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. But so we learn it day 3.
Go ahead.
Oh, it is tough. I mean, we do perform it on day 4. So day 4 is like our final presentation, you know, performance day. But day 3 is you learn your athletic combination. You're also in your interview with the boss lady. So it's the 4 boss ladies and myself is usually in the interview. So we're all in there and we get to know you. We get to see your personality. And that's really what can make or break you as well. You know, just from being in the experience, how you show up as a person, how you communicate, how you speak is something that can bring you to the top of the list. You know what I mean?
Got it.
So yeah, so we do our interview and then we also go into a round of where we take the previous day's choreography and we put it in formation. So we break us up into like, I want to say like 6 or 7 groups. And then we see how well you can take direction with formations. And we kind of challenge ourselves in that way as a team to see how well you work as a team. Do you mesh well? Or do you come across the leader? Do you come across as a little shy? We get to see you as individuals, but also how well do you work in the team dynamic and how well do you dance next to the other dancers? Because you can be the greatest dancer on the planet, but if you don't look or mesh, then that can also make or break your experience as well. So you also have to have that adaptability to be able to dance with other dancers in the room. So that's day three. Day three is long. It's like to test you.
Okay, this always amazes me with NBA compared to NFL. Like, we have yard lines and it's sometimes a mystery of like how you travel and do different things. But are you guys, when you're setting those formations, because you guys are in that like basketball training looking room, right? But like, do you actually teach them at that point what those markings are that you guys go off on the court?
So it really depends. So sometimes I remember my season when I had auditioned and made the team, we were actually on the practice court. So we were given like, you're on this crack, you're on this space, you're on this sideline. And I was crossing spaces. I just see the floor. That's what I see. I see the floor. So I don't know what y'all are talking about. But it depends. So sometimes it's like that. But I remember last season we were in a studio. So we weren't able to give direct formations in regards to like, you know, our cracks and our spaces or our sidelines, but we were able to sense how well you had your
peripheral vision.
Yeah. How well do you relate to dancers next to you? Do you understand where you are in space in relation to your other fellow dancers? So that was also a good test as well to see how well you understand, you know, where you are in space. So it really depends, but we finish off day three and usually there are no cuts on day three. So I say day three is like your test. It's your boot camp. How tired are you and how well can you push through your exhaustion? That's really what it is.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, day four is my favorite day. Not as a dancer, but now that I'm in the captaincy, I'm able to sit back and like kind of watch everyone else. But as a dancer, the final day, it's like the final performance day. This is what makes or breaks you, right? So we have a few rounds, but, you know, we only announce the team at the end. So there are no actual cuts before the last round. And basically, you perform everything that we've learned throughout the entire process. We'll do the across the floor combination. Some people may be asked to do the heels combination. And then we do our athletic combination all together. And then we go into what Chrissia loves with all her heart, our battle royale. It's so good. We perform our hip hop routine that we learned on day two at a time. And usually you are paired up with someone that you look like. So, you know, the blondes dance with the blondes and the brunettes dance with the brunettes. So that's pretty much how Chrissia pairs up dancers for that moment. And you go two at a time. And then after you perform, literally right after you perform, you're asked an interview question right there on the spot in front of everyone. So, you know, you're out of breath, right? I just danced for 45 seconds straight. My heart is pounding out of my chest. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. And then they're like, so what's your favorite color and why? And you're like, I don't know, right? But that's also a part of the test and a part of the experience. As a Brooklynette, and I can even speak for myself, we did a Pix 11 interview a few weeks back where we performed a full routine, our full routine, and then afterwards, yes. Oh, for that night, yes. So we performed our full J-Lo routine, and then I was mic'd up, and as soon as we finished performing, she was like, so how are you? Tell us about the experience. And I was like, it was great. And, you know, you're out of breath, and you just have to, like, figure out how to pull up. So I always highly recommend media training as well, because that is half the battle. Your ambassadorship for the team is just as important as your dancing. So at the end, you perform, you're asked your interview question, and then they have the next two go. And then we go through everybody throughout, all of our finalists and all the vets go two by two. And then we announce the team right then and there.
Wow. So is there any component of like freestyling at all that people are doing?
Yeah. So when we're auditioning the heels portion of auditions and the hip hop routine, your freestyle will make or break you as well. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can make or break you. I realize. But I think for the Nets, our vision nowadays is we look for star quality. So we look for people that have that flair, that have that spice, that's like, whoa, that's new. I've never seen that before. So your freestyle is what adds to that. It's great if you can hit the choreography, but then if you can come out with something crazy in your freestyle, that's so important. And your freestyle is incorporated in every single aspect of the audition process. So I know for me, I hate freestyle. I'm not even gonna lie. I hate improv. If you ask me to get into the improv circle and the freestyle circle, I'm like, I'll side to the back until the end. I swear. But being on the team has definitely opened up my mind to it and has helped me train in that as well. You know, freestyling is an art in itself, and I admire people that can actually freestyle for their lives. But yes, huge, huge portion of the audition as well.
So my heart is pounding as though I'm auditioning, and I don't know why. I will never forget listening to Christina outline this, and I was just like scared,
yes!
Scared.
Do you like twitch? You twitch thinking about it.
Because I just know I would have melted into the floor. Like, you know what? This was great.
Yes.
Or I just would have sashayed out of the room just from kudos to anybody that kind of goes through that process, just even
absolutely.
For the learning of surviving it and kind of just seeing what to expect, and then double kudos to be able to come back, train in those areas, and make it to the end of it, for crying out loud. I mean, and that's why you guys have assembled a dream team, where it's fun to look at each and every like single one of you. Like, I have to watch my videos back and just focus on a different person, because somebody draws
it's
me
so
in, watch only them, and then I'm like, okay, wait, let me go see what other person's doing during this routine.
Yeah. Like fun to watch
the quality that I really appreciate about the Brooklyn Nets, where you guys are dancing together as a team, but there's so much individuality up in there, like room to kind of serve me something a little different, a little
yes,
but it all works when you see them all together, and that's just a je ne sais quoi for me in the
thing.
I don't know, anyway, that's just my take. Everybody knows how much I'm obsessed with this team, so I should even talk about my take. What advice would you give to people who want to be a part of this team?
Oof, I could answer this question all day. I love this question. I feel like I have a few good points. Number one is to make yourself seen. And I think that a lot, this goes overlooked in the audition process, because, you know, we kind of like to stand to the back. We want to make sure that, you know, we're getting the choreography down. And I understand you, and I feel you on that, because you're like, I don't want to make a fool out of myself. But I think when it comes to an audition like this, where there are so many incredible dancers in the room, it is so important to show that you have the confidence and you have the power to stand in the front and make yourself seen by the women that are, you know, judging you per se. And I think that there's so much power in that. And that is half the battle right there. So one, definitely making yourself seen. In addition to that, you know, going to the prep series, going to the audition series, going to the workshops that we offer, even little things like commenting on our Instagram page and like making yourself noticed by us so we can see you and we can be like, oh, I know her from somewhere. Or if you reach out to us and you communicate with us or you ask us for advice, you know, that does so much when you step into the audition room and then that one person's like, oh, wait, I know her from somewhere. I'm not sure where. Or I know her because she reached out to me on Instagram. Those little things hold so much power. You know, networking in the dance industry is so important. So that one little, you know, DM to send, even though it might like make you shiver in your boots, you know, that one little DM.
That was me asking you to do this episode.
Me all the time. Even responding to things. I'm like, I get nervous too, but you know, we're all in this together. So making yourself seen. Number two, I would say, is to bring your fullest self. I think just like you had mentioned, you know, what makes us so special as a team and what differentiates us is the fact that we are all so unique and we are so diverse, not just in the way we look or our skin color or our hair color, but where we train, our upbringings, where we're from. You know, a lot of the women on the team are from out of state. All of our experience, our dance training, like I said, we're all from so many different areas of life where when we come together, that's what gives us that, you know, star power when you watch us. So what I like to say is that you can find inspiration from different people on the team, different dancers in general, but at the end of the day, you have to be confident in what you have to bring as your own dancer, because you can come and be a clone of me and my dancing. That's great. But, you know, we already have a me. Not to anyone's horn, but we already have me. We want to see you. And what value can you add to our team? And then, you know, of course, meshing in, but what value can you add? What are your strengths? Do you flip? Do you have incredible technique? Can you vogue? Can you light feet? Like, what is it that you can bring to the team that we can use and we can all gain inspiration from? Because that is the superpower that we have as the Brooklyn Nets. So be you, gain inspiration from other people, but bring your best self in the most fullest, most confident way. That's number two. And I think the last thing I would say, well, I would say like a million more things, but the last point that I would make is to train in every style of dance. Take ballet classes and then take a hip hop class right after. Take an African class and then take a classical ballet class again, you know, or a modern class. Train in every style, because what we do also as a team is, I think a lot of people look at us as a hip hop team, but we can bring every style onto that court. Just for Latin night, you know, we brought like 7 different styles of hip hop into our routine. And throughout the season, we do musical theater, we do classical routines, we do different cultural routines. So if you are proficient in something, bring that, but also make sure you have the technique and the training in every other dance style, so that when you come to the audition, you feel over prepared. You know, if you don't feel comfortable standing in a heel, then how are you going to get through the heels portion? Because that is huge. And you don't have to be a heels dancer, but you have to know how to stand, how to hold yourself in a heel, so that when you step onto that court through the audition process, you know that you have the confidence and you have the training to back it up. So I think a lot goes into it, but showing up as your best self, being seen, and then just training up until then in every single aspect is what will prepare you for success throughout the audition process.
Love that. And make sure your stamina is right. I mean,
do some hit classes, run, because my stamina, even nowadays, I'm like, whoo, I can't do this like I was 19 anymore.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, it definitely will help.
That's great advice. That's great advice for people. Thank you. I've monitored this space and I see just how much people look up to this team, and how, like, I get people responding from my stories or whatever, like, obsessed with them, or like they're just in awe of you guys. And so I'm excited for you to kind of talk us through, I mean, you mentioned it a little bit, but like what it is like being on the team, like the vibe, like your practice schedule, like just the diversity of the team, like the age range. Like, I just need like a little
fact sheet,
a little bit of what the team dynamic is like, because it's so special. I think everybody's drawn to it, but firsthand, member of the team, how would you
firsthand?
Yeah.
I think if I can think of like my full 5 years on the team and to put it into like one word or one phrase, it's like the ultimate training program for every other aspect of your life. So I think that what I love about the team is that we're treated like we're professional dancers, because it's a professional dance job, right? And I love how there is no hand holding to get you through things, which can come across as very cutthroat. But I think that what a lot of people don't look at is how that actually prepares you for every aspect of your life. And being on the team, first of all, I think the amount of inspiration that you gain from the women that are in the room is just, it's breathtaking in a way, because, you know, you have women that are entrepreneurs, that are in school, that are in corporate jobs, and then come to rehearsal afterwards and are able to dance like nobody is watching. And even in addition to that, most of us are signed professional dancers. So we've all done professional dance work outside of, you know, being a Brooklynette, to being a Brooklynette. Mm-hmm. So you are just constantly in awe of everybody around you. And like I said, it's like the ultimate training program where your hand isn't held through anything. So what I will say is that at times it can be very, very overwhelming. It can be very cutthroat. And even talking to a lot of my teammates, it's very easy to be on the team and to get left behind. And I don't mean like, you know, people ignore you, but the team moves in a very fast paced, move, go, go, go type of way. So, you know, we'll be in rehearsal in the beginning of the season. We're learning 10 routines before the season even starts. And that's Tuesday, we're learning choreography. Wednesday, we're cleaning it. Thursday, we're putting it in formation and learning another routine. You know, so it's like back to back to back. So like I said, it's very easy to get left behind if you are not on top of everything. Yeah. And what I think is also super interesting is that we all process that in different ways. So for me, when I learn choreography, I don't know how my brain does it. I'm not going to lie to you, but I can learn it. And it's like in my body. I have that muscle memory of I'm like a sponge in that sense. But I do know a lot of my fellow teammates don't have that understanding of choreography in the same way. So in my position, I'm able to like kind of put myself on the back burner and be able to assist and aid in my teammates' success. So it is very, very team oriented. We're always trying to work together to help each other because we know that it's very cutthroat, right? We know that if I'm not getting the choreography, I'm going to be behind and I'm going to feel behind. So I don't want that to happen for anyone else on the team. So we're going to work together to do it, right? So I think just in that sense, like I said, the ultimate training program, not just as a dancer, but in every aspect of your life, I feel like this team has made me into a woman. You know, I went from a teenager to a 24-year-old woman, and mm-hmm. I have learned so many things. I've learned how to use my voice. I've learned how to pick up choreography really fast, because if you don't, you're cut. Like, that's yeah. that right then and there. Everything's very much honest and real and put right in front of us as it is, which I respect and appreciate. And honestly, a lot of people can't handle that. And it's no shade, no tea. It's just, that's just what it is. And that's okay too, because some people need a little bit more time to understand, or we all have different ways of processing things, which I think is beautiful and which makes us all unique. But it's one thing to definitely understand that this team is, I don't want to say everyone for themselves, but you have to be on your own game so you can show up as your best self and you don't feel left behind, because that's going to hurt you and your ego in the long run. So you yes. almost have to like make sure that you're on top of everything all the time, which like I said, can be very cutthroat, can feel very cutthroat, can be very scary. And even just to say out loud, I'm like, oh, it's not that harsh, I promise. But, no, you know, it's a great experience. It's so much fun. You know, it's a job that you have to be prepared for, but understand that coming into it, you will never be prepared enough to take on what it is. So you've got to learn in the moment. You got to learn through the experience and go through it to really understand what it is. You know what I mean? So that's the best way I could put it.
If people have not experienced like that fast-paced vibe of New York City, then I just don't know what to say. You just need to go ahead and test that water, because even walking down the goddamn street in New York City, you got to be on a certain pace or you
gotta move out the way.
Literally. So I could totally see just that pace being a little bit overwhelming, in addition to just like an NBA season. Like once you make it, I'm sure it's like, whoa, I knew it was 40 games, but like this is how you actually map it out, the practices and the games. But there's nothing worse than that sinking feeling of, and I remember that feeling my rookie year in the NFL, because I did not know time commitment wise, like I needed to practice outside of the, you hear practice twice a week and you're like, oh, I got that. I could do that.
Right.
Not the practice to be ready for practice. And the, all the other
stuff. Yes, 3 hours before the 3 hour rehearsal. No one tells you about that. They'll prepare you for that. Yes.
And it's such a sinking feeling when you feel like you're behind, or you're slowing everybody down, or you feel like you're just struggling to keep up. That's like, oh, that's like the worst feeling. So I could see what you're saying in terms of you have to be responsible for that, to kind of like get it together, and not because somebody's yelling at you and screaming at you to do it. It's just the expectation, like you got to handle your business, and people will help, you know, within reason.
Yeah, of course.
That adaptability, like you spoke to earlier, of learning quickly, adapting, adjusting, you know, staying of it. Considering like, you know, your leadership position on the team, how do you stay on top of your game as a performer? I mean, I love hearing like how you make it work, just because it's very, very, very natural for you to just perform and take on a lot of choreography and whatnot. But being a captain, it involves so many other things too, right? So how do you manage, I'm going to be my best self out there on the court, but I'm also going to serve in this leadership role. Like, what's expected of you, and how do you deliver on both sides of the coin of performing at your best game and then also being a leader on the team.
So I think one thing that I've learned in my 2 years as captain is that I come last, which is very hard to kind of even say out loud sometimes, because I struggle personally with putting myself first in general. I'm very selfless in the sense where you need this, I'll take care of you. But then it's like, wait, what does Kayla need? What does Kayla actually want to do today, right? So one thing I've learned, and I learned it very, very quickly, is that my team comes first and what I need comes last. I think one thing I've always been naturally good at is, like I said, obtaining that choreography and kind of just, I just know it. I think that's like one of my superpowers, one of my strengths is, you know, having that sponge-like quality in my brain and my body to kind of just understand those things. And with that, I learned that my team does come first all the time. So as for an example, I'll give it to you like this. When we're setting a routine on court, so on game days, as captain, we are required to set the sidelines and the cracks and spaces and making sure our formations look clean on court. Yeah. So when we're doing formations, I'll make sure that I know where every line stands. I know who stands on what crack, where, in relation to me, in relation to their friends. Lots of spatial awareness there, I'll tell you that much. On top of, you know, having all the cleaning notes, making sure I'm counting correctly, making sure I'm counting for everybody else, making sure everybody gets the step, you know, we're all good, right? We're all here. And then, you know, I do all of that. And then it comes time to perform it. And I was like, wait, where do I stand? Where does Kayla stand? How is Kayla going to perform this? And then I kind of look at myself and I'm like, didn't think of that. Didn't think of it once. I have no idea. I know where I put everyone else, but where is Kayla? Kayla has no idea. Kayla has no idea. So that was definitely one of the things I struggled with when becoming captain, because, you know, even last season, the first year coming in, it's like, okay, I was making sure everyone else is good. And I really had no idea where I was in space. So I was like all over the place. Second year, I kind of knew what I was signing up for. I knew what to expect. So I was able to come in and almost train myself extra to like know the choreography, know the court, like the back of my hand. That way, when I am in space and when I am going through this full out, my body automatically knows where to go. So I had to put in the extra work outside before coming into rehearsal to know those things and to train myself as a dancer and to train myself as a member of the team in order to come in to be able to give to my team wholeheartedly and fully. And I think that a lot of people who want to be in leadership positions, and if you want to be a captain of the team or whatever it is that you aspire to be in leadership, you have to realize that it's team over self all the time. There are some times where I will make a suggestion and then, you know, the coach will look at me and be like, no, it's not going to work. And I have to know that it's not personal, but the one thing that we all value as leadership, as a team, is show performance first. What is the best thing that we can do for the performance? What is the best thing that we can do so the show looks its best? It's not always about like that ego trip of like, well, I have this really cool idea and I want to do it. Okay, well, it's not going to work. So I don't know what you want me to tell you. And you're just like, okay, like I get it. It's fine. And it's not personal, but it's, we want the best for the show and we want everyone to be safe, have a good time doing it. And we want the fans to enjoy it. So what do we have to do as a leadership team to come in here and produce the best show and to give the best show? And most of the time that means putting your team first and accepting the criticism on the backhand as well, because that is something that is just, you know, sometimes you may say things in the wrong tone, or you may do this wrong, or you may do that wrong. And, you know, we deserve grace because we are human. I hate to break it to you, but we are human. So we're not going to be perfect all the time. I promise you, I am not perfect all the time. But, you know, it's that understanding that it's my team first. Whatever you guys need, I'll give to you. I'll get to myself later. So it's also finding times for myself outside of the workspace to serve myself and to give to myself, which I'm struggling with right now. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, it's a learning curve. It's a learning process. That's what we go through. So it's a lot. I don't think people realize the amount of work that really goes in from the leadership perspective. Oof.
That's why I wanted to highlight it, Kayla, because it's like when I have the pleasure, and I mean, you know, I can't say enough good things about Chrissia and the rest of the leadership team for the Brooklyn. Like having the luxury of watching the court rehearsals really fills me up, because I get to appreciate how much hard work goes into the entire, and I love that you said the word show, because that's how it feels when I am at a game. I'm at a show.
Yeah.
And it's A to Z a show. And gosh, I wish everybody thought of it that way. It's a show, because you guys give. Anyway, back to like what I witness when I'm at those court rehearsals. I'm watching you as a captain. I'm watching how everybody helps one another. I'm imagining myself in anybody's shoes. Like, how do they do that? Like, how do you just keep track of it all and still be able to, you know, you're front and center in these situations. And I'm just was like, she just must be like a genius in terms of knowing that she's good, because you're worrying about everybody else and setting everything. But I love the chemistry of you guys as a leadership team of having you back. So like, you know, Chrissy is watching Uncle Hog, or Asha's watching, and then you guys are just all about, you could tell that it's all about putting the best show together and being able to offer those critiques or little tweaks. And you guys make so many like last minute changes or so many aspects of your show, from like pregame to like there's an artist coming and they don't necessarily know where they're going on the court around the choreography that you said. There's just so many aspects. So I mean, just shout out to you for balancing all of that as a leader, because I mean, I've been in amazement. Like, this is just a lot to keep track of just as a dancer on a team. And I've heard people like talk about their journeys in a leadership role where sometimes they just, I've heard somebody say, and I don't remember who, but like, sometimes I just want to worry about being the best dancer on the team as I can be, like instead of a squad leader or a captain, because not that they didn't enjoy it, but it was kind of like I had to worry so much about my team and everybody else that I didn't feel like I was the best dancer, that I could be like, something fell through the cracks maybe. Yeah. But it's a lot, and it's just extra work and extra time, and you're on the back burner. And, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge all of that, because it's something that maybe people, in looking at their captains, aren't really appreciating about what that.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that that's so real. And I would say this to anyone who is on a team and who does have to follow leadership. Your leaders put in way more than what you see. And I promise you that is every single team out there. Because even when I was on the team, not as captain, I would kind of look at the captains and coaches and be like, oh, I could do that. Set formations, so easy. Pick out costumes, I can do that. And then when you're in the situation in meetings with the full leadership team, and you see how much work goes on the back end, not just from decisions that need to be made or actions that need to be taken, but also a lot of these organizations have higher up people that they serve, that they have to listen to and that they have to cater to. So it's like you're getting from higher up business partners of the organization that are telling us what to do, that are telling them what to do, that are telling the captains what to do, that are telling the team what to do. So it's sometimes there's like seven people in the mix, and you have no idea where this decision is coming from. And I think it's so easy when being on a team, especially on a team that requires a lot of you, to take things personally. Whether you were picked to be put on a game, on a promo, where you're standing in the dance, you know, oh, why am I always in the back? Why is it this? And I think conversation helps and expressing those concerns help. But I also think that a level of self-awareness needs to be brought to those things, where sometimes it's not personal. And sometimes it's really just not about you. Sometimes it's coming from a higher up. And sometimes we don't even realize it. So it's like we have so many other things to worry about. And if you're worried about where you're standing in your dance, I promise that's not the first thing on my mind, and I'm not doing it on purpose. Like, I promise you. So I think that from a leadership standpoint and from my experience, I think one piece of advice I can give to anybody on a team is to give your leaders grace, you know? Yeah. And I think also not judging everything they say, if they say things wrong one day, because in addition to this life, right, all the things that I just mentioned and all the things we have to be taken care of, we also have lives outside of this job. Most of us work full-time jobs outside of this. Most of us work six other jobs, three other jobs, have families, have people to take care of, have emotional and mental issues going on in our lives, personal things, you know, sad things happening in our family. And, you know, at the end of the day, the one piece of advice I give to leaders, regardless, is to always show up with love. You know, your emotions can be running wild, but if you show up with the intention of giving love, being aware of that, that will change the whole team dynamic. But with that, you also have to understand that as a member of the team, the people leading you are people. And they're human and they're going through things and they're tired and they're exhausted. So yes, you can judge how she pointed at you the wrong way or she told you to get into the spot with a little bit of an attitude, but you don't know what that person is going through outside. So yeah. I always say voice your concerns, communicate. Communication is the best way to get through things, right? Go right through the problem, go right to the source. Don't be passive aggressive about it. Just communicate, especially being on a team where it's like you got to be with each other all the time, right?
Yeah.
And figuring it out together and realizing that most of the things that do happen to you or that are happening and you might be taking it personal isn't personal. And it's just the nature and the build of the game that we're living in. And it's a business, you know? So,
yes. So many aspects, levels and layers to all that. But you're right. I think it's easy when you're on a team and you're not in that leadership position to make certain judgments or assumptions of what's really going on and not really thinking of how much grace or benefit of the doubt that you should, or just things that you just don't know anything about, period. Like you aren't conscious, you're not sitting in those rooms and you know, you might have a lot of thoughts and opinions, or you might be, and people are like not even checking for you and what you said, but it's because, you know, it's not personal. It's just like, you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes and some things work. And sometimes you're getting, like you said, a direction from the higher ups, what needs to show up on the court. So it's just a lot to think about. And like you said, I love what you said about like, they're working way harder behind the scenes than you could ever imagine, and just give up grace. And I think that's what I like for some teams that do have, you know, multiple captains. You do have other captains as well. Kind of better. Yeah. Two others or how many?
I have two other captains, Chelsea and Haiyang. They're amazing. We balance each other out so well. We work so well together. And I'm so grateful for them because being on the team and being the captain, there's a lot of pressure to show up as your best self. Like I said, showing up every day. And, you know, sometimes you just have a bad day. You just wake up and everything goes wrong. And then I have to show up and lead 24 women in a routine. And I have to be on my best behavior. And I just want to cry because I had the worst day of my life. So what's so great, and I personally believe that's so helpful in having multiple captains, is the fact that you're able to lean on each other. And I'm able to hit them up like, guys, I can't do this today. Can someone please take it from me? And they're like, I have the capacity to do it. Don't stress yourself out. I'll take care of it. So it's like that sharing of power is so important and so helpful in this space. It really is.
Absolutely. And so remind me, with Brooklynettes, for the most part, are you all dancing each game, or is there a lot of variation of who's showing up at a game and who's either leading as captain that day, or kind of, now my brain is just like, how do you do this? So if you like, you know, a different set of people showing up for every game, knowing who is where in that formation, just based on who shows up for the game, is that part of the mix too?
Right. So the way we do it is that whenever a choreographer comes in, one of the three captains kind of takes that choreography and like has it as their own for the season. We do the formations, we do the cleaning notes, and we kind of take hold of it for the remainder of the season. And then with that, for the most part, all three of us are on each game, but there are definitely times where, you know, I have to take off a game because something else is coming up, or, you know, Chelsea has to take off, Haiyang may have to take off. So it is sort of rotational, but for the most part, we're all on every single game. And then as for the other dancers, they rotate evenly throughout the season, but you do have the option of taking off games if necessary, which is very, very helpful, right? But when it comes to like setting things on court, usually if it's your routine, you set it yourself on the court. So let's say if I have a routine that's going on a game and I'm not there that game, what the other coaches, so Asha or Celine, will usually take hold of it and set it on court, or they will help out as well. But if for the most part, it's very, very shared. It's very like, I need help today. Please, please, please help me. And they're usually, anyone else is usually like, girl, I got you, sit down, it's okay. Like, you know, it's not rocket science. The one thing I always tell everyone is like, at the end of the day, what we're doing is dance, okay? We're not curing cancer. We are not climbing Mount Everest, and our lives are not on the line. I promise you, it is just dance. We love this. Why are we stressed? I get it, the craft space is crazy. It makes my head spin too, but we're just dancing. So at the end of the day, yes, it's easy to get in our heads and be very so stressed out about everything. And even as a captain, trying to show up and be perfect, I'll never be perfect. And I know that. And I think that's something that we can all agree on and understand for ourselves as well, is all we can do is show up as our best selves and pray that it's accepted by everyone.
Yes. Well, it is definitely over here. I mean, I can't even imagine, and it's not like I'm ever looking at any of my videos looking for mistakes. Never. That's right. Just not how I operate. But like, if you guys are not perfect on the court, I can't tell and I don't see it. I mean, you guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Phenomenal performers.
Thank you.
Let's talk a
Thank
little
you.
Bit about your another little hat that you wear as choreographer. So when I went to the game, you choreographed your piece. Talk to me about that. Is this new for you in terms of choreography? What do you love about it?
So I'm not even gonna lie. Like I said, freestyle scares me. Choreographing scares me as well. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I'm one of those people, like I said, I come from a competitive background. So you give me a piece of choreography, I'll eat it up. I'll kill it. I'll do my best work. But then when you're like, Kayla, come up with 5 pounds of 8. I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. You know what I mean? And it's one of my weaker points of myself as a creative. And I've determined that a long time ago. But actually last season was my first season that I was asked to choreograph for the team. I choreographed for Latin Night last season as well. And then this season, me and one of the guys on Team Hype, his name is Noah, he's a really, really good friend of mine. We did a piece together that it was like a Team Hype Brooklyn Nets collaboration, which is really cool. I love the collab pieces. There's so much fun.
Yes.
Team Hype is everything. Team Hype is so talented. And we drew a lot of inspiration from them as well as a team. So that collaboration and that inspiration of talent is just over the moon. It's unreal to be in the room with all of us at once. It's like, it gives me the chills sometimes. So that was really
good. It's like, that's how I felt watching. And I was trying to, you know, once I get my glass of rosé, I don't really know how stuff's going to come out, but I was trying to articulate like what it is like. Again, I have the benefit of watching it twice at the court rehearsal and the game, but like watching those two teams together is just, I don't even know. And I can't even explain it. It's like a combination.
It's like magic.
Yeah.
It's like magic because, and like I said about the Nets, you know, what I love is that we are deemed entertainment teams, not just dance teams, not just this, not just that. We are the entertainment teams. So when you come to the games, you are being prepared to be entertained, not just watching, you know, the dancers. Oh, the dancers are going. Oh, they're cheering for the team. That's great. You know, whether it's us or Team Hype, you know? Even the Level Up Squad. Level Up Squad is throughout the crowd. They're lit the full 2.5 hours throughout the game, which is great. I love it. You know, the energy is just, and it's incredible. But what's so beautiful about us and Team Hype is that Team Hype actually has, I think, 3 separate teams. They have a choreography team where they like dance choreography. They have a light feet team and then a breakers team. The amount of talent Team Hype has is unbelievable. Like, I can't even... Oh, I don't even know where to begin. Like you said, it's indescribable because you watch them, and most of them, what's really insane is most of them are street dancers. Like, you'll see them dancing on the street in New York, on the trains, on the subways. Like, you'll see them, and then they're like, oh, I'll see you rehearsal tonight. And you're like, oh, yeah. Like, you're doing crazy things on the subway, and I'll just see you in rehearsal. It's unbelievable. Wow. And the level of talent, the level of experience they all have as dancers, as performers, is so beautiful. And like I said, we're entertainment teams. So when we come together, our aim is to entertain and bring the best show, like I said, to the mm-hmm. crowd, to the fans, to the audience, right? And when we come together, like for this specific collaboration piece, we wanted to bring something that was, you know, obviously very authentic to our Latin roots, because it was Latin night, of course, we're both of Latin descent. So we wanted it to be very authentic and include some authentic choreography. But at the end of the day, we also wanted to bring kind of like the modernization and different styles of hip hop into our piece, which was really cool because Noah has such an extensive background of hip hop. And I kind of bring the commercial dance aspect to it. So when we work together, it is like magic. When we teach it, it's like magic. And then when we perform everything, it is like a different realm of magic. Okay. So that is, it was just such a really good experience. And we work really well together. And as a team, we just bounce off each other and on our ideas and gain inspiration and learn new moves and just new tricks and everything. It's so, so, so special to be a part of and watch. So yeah, very cool with them.
For people who are listening, go look at the video on Instagram. This is electricity that you can just feel. Like if you could just touch it, you would get it back, because it's like,
yeah,
it's just so fun. The choreo was so cool. I just want to acknowledge, because I wanted to have like an episode that was dedicated just in the name of diversity, right? Like dancers from Latin backgrounds, because there's a voice, or just in the representation that I feel like I wanted to celebrate, and I didn't really get people wanting to do a group interview, and I was like, man, no, I know, just kidding. But can you talk about just like the ability to express yourself that way and bringing your culture? And I feel like it's not just even for like Latin night. Like, how do you feel celebrated as you're Puerto Rican? Yes, like
it. Puerto Rican, yeah.
But just how do you feel? You're able to bring that as part of the team and to be able to express that in choreo. I just want to get a little highlight since I didn't get my episode. Like I just
absolutely. And like I said, what I love about the next organization overall is that we highlight and we, I don't even want to say appreciate, it's above appreciation. We highlight our diversity as a team, as an organization. And I think that's because of what Brooklyn is. Brooklyn is literally the epitome of a melting pot, right? You will see every kind of person on the street from every kind of background, from every other place. And it is the ultimate experience, I would say, even just walking around the city of Brooklyn, to have those experiences and gain that like insight from other people's experiences and backgrounds. So when you come to a Nets game, and what I love is that we do have so many theme nights. You know, we have AAPI night, we have Chinese New Year, we have Latin night, we have Black History Month. Literally all of that Black History Month is a celebration of Black history and culture. And each game is usually highlighting different aspects of that. And we had our West Indian night and Renaissance night, where we did our Soul Train halftime. And being able... we'll send you the video. The video is online. I think Christina posted it.
Okay. I'm going to
Send it to you. Send it to you. It is so special. And coming from, I'm from Staten Island, which is, you know, very one-dimensional from my experience. So being able to come into a space where every culture is highlighted, appreciated, and just over the top celebrated is so special. And even with our team, you know, like I said, our dancers on the team have so many different backgrounds and trainings in dance and their own culture. So when a specific night is brought around, you know, we're learning directly from the source. One of our newest members, her name is Aoi, she's from Japan, and she got her green card just to dance with us on the team. So she's bringing her own culture. It's incredible. And, you know, we're teaching her English. We're working on communicating with her. And it's so special to just have that authentic culture being brought onto our team and sharing and realizing how dance really connects people without speaking. And it's so, so beautiful. And, you know, we had our West Indian night, and all of our ladies that are from West Indian descent, you know, they were able to be highlighted and, you know, share their culture and vibes and teach us the authentic ways of movement. Yes. You know, it's so beautiful. And even, you know, Latin night, best night of the year. Okay. You know, I'm able to share my experiences and I'm able to share my roots and my culture, and we connect through dance in that way. You know, it's one thing to study it or talk about it, or like I said, walk on the street and meet people in Brooklyn. But, you know, I believe dance is a universal language, and everyone has their own way of speaking through dance, and being able to learn different languages of dance through each other while like doing work and making it a job is like lit. Like, that's crazy. You know, it's so special. So it's something that really just brings us together as a team and just helps us go above and beyond. I learned so much. I'm so inspired by every single woman on the team. It's insane.
Oh my gosh. I'm so freaking happy to be talking to you and getting answers to all the questions in my head from watching you guys over the years.
Yes.
Because you can tell.
I love it.
I'm just a spectator. You know, I'm just minding my business, but trying to like
share what
I see, and just hearing it firsthand is just, it just makes, I'm beaming. I'm so excited.
Oh,
to hear.
So glad.
Like,
and I love just sharing. I love being able to share, and I love sharing my experiences, and I'm working on being a better sharer and being open with my experience and telling the world about it, and, you know, even having myself be seen. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at showing myself off sometimes, maybe when I'm dancing, but speaking is different for me. So I'm grateful to be able to share that aspect and to share my experiences and my advice. And hopefully one person that's listening to this will gain something beautiful out of it. And even if it's one person, 10 people, 100,000 people, whatever it is, I'm grateful that we're putting it out into the world, because that's what creates more magic.
Exactly. And connection. I mean, and I can't,
connection.
I'm excited about this episode because I know I'm going to hear from people like, oh my God, because it's not just me who wanted to know. So I loved when I spoke to Chrissia. How did she put it? It was kind of like she wanted everybody to just be able to say, I'm a professional dancer. I don't have to be like, I'm a professional dancer and I do all of this amazing stuff outside of work. It's all good either way. But she was like, she wanted people to be able to celebrate being a professional dancer, because we were talking about like a lot of the people on the team being represented by agencies and needing to like work, right? And she was like, I want them to be able to have that career as a professional dancer and not be like, all I do is, you know, like it's some kind of, you have to do this plus something
hustle
else.
Or side hustle. Yes.
But let's talk about what you do in addition to being a Brooklynette. What are you up to? What professional jobs have you done? How has being a part of Brooklynette helped you in that?
I think something that I've learned most from the Brooklynettes is the power of networking, the power of connection, the power of communication. You know, through the Brooklynettes, we're given a lot of experiences on our own through the organization and through the job itself. But one thing that I've noticed for myself is that it's helped me find the confidence in who I am to put myself out there more. Like I said, I struggle with being seen and putting myself out into the world. But through the confidence and through the training that I've been given, I feel over-prepared to put myself out into the world and be confident in letting my own light shine. So since I've joined the team 5 years ago, like I said, I was previously signed to a talent agent, but I've done multiple jobs since then. I've worked on movies. I've worked on TV shows here and there, worked with many, many, many artists, the VMAs a couple times, which was really cool. But one of my, you know, a couple times. But one thing that I'm super proud of for myself is that I got signed to a modeling agency. And that's something that I always wanted to. I got signed a few years back, but since then, I've been doing a lot more work and able to connect with more people because of the training that I've experienced. And I'm convinced it's from the Brooklynettes. You know, like I said, they've helped me develop that confidence to put myself out there more. So when I do go on a job, I kind of know what to expect. Even sometimes, you know, I get on a set or go on auditions and you never know what they're going to throw at you. Sometimes they've thrown anything at you. But now I feel like I've developed the skill of adaptability and the skill of communicating through anything that comes my way. So if I'm on a set and something doesn't go well, you know, or something isn't look right or my makeup's not right, you know, I don't fear speaking up anymore. And I'm able to advocate for myself while still being respectful, you know, and but using my voice in a way that, you know, I sound media trained and I am, but at the same time, very real with you about it. I'm always going to be very, I'm able to approach it in a more respectable and mature way because this job has made me into the woman that I am. So even on top of that, I audition like crazy. I go on auditions every single week. Don't book anything. I mean, I'm not saying I don't book anything. I book work. Yes, I'm working on the outside. I'm not going to lie. I book a lot of work. But there are times where I can go weeks with no. So it's also helped me develop that resilience and understanding that you're not always going to get a yes, you know, and sometimes I'm a big believer in faith where, you know, God determines my destiny. He knows where I'm going to end up. And at the end of the day, whether I end up there through the journey that I had planned for myself or a completely separate way, you know, I'm trusting in that process. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the one thing that this overall opportunity has taught me is the confidence in myself, adaptability, resilience, and speaking up and advocating for who I am as a person. So I do a lot. I do a lot on the outside. I'm always working. I'm always on the move.
I love that. And that just makes me think, like, you did post about, I want to say, like, some Sports Illustrated swimsuit action or no, some kind of swim, something. Am I making that up in my head?
Yes. Yes, okay. No, you're so right. I'm always like putting myself out there. And one of my dreams is to shoot for Sports Illustrated swimsuit. Oh, a dream of mine. And it's going to happen one day. I'm telling you now, mark this day. I'm telling you now. It's something that I've always wanted to accomplish and to just be seen for who I am. And I think a lot of people sometimes want to be famous for the egotistical aspects of it, or, you know, and there's no problem with that either. You know, go ahead, girl. Live your life. I'm all for anyone's dream. You have a dream, I'm going to support you all the way. Unless you're trying to deter mine, that's a different story. But, you know, if you have a dream, I have a dream. We're all in this together, in this one life, in this one circle of life. So if you want to do what you want to do, but go for it. But for me, it's more so like, I have a dream of reaching people and spreading value to others. And through my experiences and through other things that I'm learning and everything that I go through on a daily basis, being able to share that and add that value to people's lives is what my ultimate purpose is.
Yo, I love that. And I want to just say this. I don't think anybody's listening that needs to be listening, but I have noticed that Sports Illustrated over the years, they tend to pick up the NFL cheerleader vibes. And I'm like,
I have noticed. I'm like, absolutely. Which, yes.
There is another league. And I'm kind of like, why? It just, anyway, that's just a whole side note. But I'm putting it out there. There is the NBA dance world as well. And some of the, anyway, I see this. I would love to see that. And don't just think
NFL. We're going to manifest it.
Yes, we are.
We're going to manifest it all the way.
So cool, Kayla. Okay, so I'll just preface this question. I view this entire space because I'm looking at like NFL, NBA, hockey, whatever the Instagram algorithm shows me, like semi-pro teams, other professional sports that really probably shouldn't be called semi-pro because in the dance space, pro. Like, so I see everything and I see it as one big community. And I know social media follows each other and whatnot. And sometimes for me in watching all of this, there are teams that just seem so next level, you know, like this one, where do they even like consider themselves part of the whole stratosphere of what I'm seeing? Because either they're so different or whatever, but we're all one big community in my mind. But I would love to take on just like the NBA dance industry. Do you only kind of look at NBA? Do you also kind of look at NFL? Like, how do you view the pro dance space and hopes, dreams, critiques, whatever you want to share, kind of like what you see?
Yeah. You know, when I first made the team, I never considered, this is going to sound crazy, I never considered myself an NBA dancer. Like when I first made the team, which is so interesting because I feel like for the Nets, I looked at it as like a dance industry goal. And I think that's something that's really special that the Nets have, where it's like we take professional dancers and, you know, we bring them into this space to work as a professional dance team in the pro dance world. Right. So coming into this space, I literally had no idea about NBA, NFL, NHL, the semi-pro leagues. I had no idea anything coming into it, you know? And I know people that train for years to try and get on the team. And I'm so inspired by those people because your resilience is what's so beautiful. And that's what keeps other people going. And I always say, never stop. Like, never stop auditioning, never stop going, because you never know when that will be your year. It, like, I'm such a huge advocate for that. I don't care if you audition two times and it makes you get on the team, or seven times and then you eventually get on the team. I am all for, like, pushing until you believe it's your time to stop. Keep going. Yeah. But in addition to that, I do also appreciate and love and genuinely, I'm so inspired by the community that the pro dance world has. And again, I'm not super involved in it. I'm not going to lie. But what I do appreciate, like I said, is the way social media connects everyone together. Like, I love, love, love when someone from another team reaches out to me, or if I see someone from another team on my For You page and I'm like, oh, love you. I'm going to like your video, and I'm going to like all your videos, and I'm going to follow you, and we're going to be best friends now. And if you're ever in New York, let me know. We'll take a dance class together. You know what I mean? So like, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're Minnesota, Houston, LA, Miami, wherever you're from, you know, I think that dance is the one thing that connects us all together. Like I said, dance is our universal language. So having dance connect us, and then having dance bring us together in the same way that we're all doing the same job, just in different ways, in different cities, right? So we're able to gain experience from one another, gain information from one another, and offer advice and help on how to help each other grow in the space that we're all in. And I think it's just such a beautiful space, and it's a beautiful community, and it's so supportive. Oh my goodness, it is so supportive. Like, every single person I talk to, or every single woman I meet that's a part of the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, like you said, is also like, I'm cheering for you, girl. I want to be on the team next year, but I'm cheering for you until then. And I'm like, you know what? I'm cheering for you when you come audition, and I want to see you win too. And if you don't make one team, I hope you make your other dream team. And I hope you make that team. And I hope you can move up into that leadership position that you are striving for. And I think that for me, teams are community, right? Yeah. It's family at the end of the day. And it, like, kind of become like this sisterhood, this family vibe, where it's like, oh, you did NBA dance, I did NBA dance. And it's like, you're like, oh, we can all connect, whether it's through trauma or really good experiences. We can all connect, right? We can all connect through those experiences and share and learn from one another. And I value that so much, because all of us on this life here, we all have different experiences, no matter what it is. And being able to share that and connect through platforms like social media and other ways is just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And for any dancer out there, I 100% recommend auditioning for that team. 100% recommend auditioning for anything that comes your way in your city. Like, go for it, because it will be life-changing. Yeah. And it's been that experience for me, 100%.
I love hearing that from you, because I think you're so personable, Kay. Like, the amount of nerves that I had, I was like, she seems really sweet, but still, I don't, you know, like, it's just really encouraging for us to reach out and connect in that way. I just had like a random thought as I was listening to you talk, because, you know, each team's audition process is so unique. And sometimes people might be in a market where, you know, you don't have any, not that you only need to be going into a studio for the dance training. I mean, you know, YouTube University,
of course,
TikTok University, whatever, like, figure it out.
Absolutely.
Styles, but what would be so cool, and what I love about this space too, like you said, it's really supportive. Like, we don't have a bunch of shit talking in our comments around, like, people critiquing, like, that dance wasn't all that, or you screwed. Like, that's in our world. We're all, like, innately, like, rooting for one another. But I think what would really be cool, just from listening to you and just kind of understanding that there are so many people vying for that dream, is just, you know, what's wrong with reaching out to someone like you, or saying, like, hey, if you're ever in, I'm making up a market, but, like, we don't have dances where we can learn tricks and, like, really get a feel of, like, what commercial dance is like. And can you teach at my studio? Like, you know, we only have a file or whatever. Like, y'all just better get y'all network on. Like, I freaking hate networking, to be honest. Like, in the real world, I just.
Don't even get started.
If I'm natural, I don't want to do it. But this space is so different. In terms of networking, because of, like, how we're all wired to be just naturally positive and willing to connect, because we're part of teams. So I would encourage people to not be afraid to reach out and to connect. And I love hearing
put
that.
It out there. Yeah.
Put it out there, because people are more than likely going to be receptive and open to that. Yeah. That's so.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, don't get me wrong. Ask me 4, 5, 6 years ago, my social anxiety was at 107. Okay. Yeah. We're at like a 50 now. We're like halfway there. Okay. I'm progress. Yes. But I think that what helps me kind of get through those nerves when it does come to networking is the concept of we're all human, we're all people. And when you ask someone for help, the person that is receiving that message is taking it to heart and is like, oh my God, someone wants to come to me for help. Of course, I want to give them what I want to give them. And that's the thing with good people. Like when you reach out to someone who values just giving out information and sharing experiences and sharing their life, you're adding as much value to their life as information that you're getting for your own. Sharing is, to me, rewarding in a way, because I'm able to give just as much as you're receiving, right? Mm-hmm. So even just listening to this, you know, you might be receiving like all the information, all the tools, all this and that, but just being able to be here and share my experience makes me feel, or almost validates my experiences in a way and my validity here to be able to share to you. And so, like I said, we're all human. Just as much as you're giving, someone else is receiving, or someone else is giving to you in the same exact way. We're all people. People are good in nature. I know that sometimes that gets misconstrued in the world, but people are good in nature. And don't be afraid. Go for it. I'll always answer my DMs. I promise.
She answered mine, y'all. No, I'm just kidding. No, thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course.
It's such a positive and encouraging message, especially this time of year. Everybody's in audition mode.
Yes. There's so
much to go into, like, you know, you've trained, but now this is kind of like, are you submitting that video? Are you showing up in class? Like, and people probably just needed a little bit of encouragement of just like, it's okay. And don't be afraid of that in the room for these, you know, auditions or prep classes. Like, just have that courage to put yourself out there, because it really does pay.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to connect in so many different ways.
Yeah. And the worst that will happen is you get a no. It's not the end of the world. I promise. Yeah. Because sometimes that no will lead you to another experience. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to an audition. I didn't book the job, but I met 3 other people at the audition that are like, hey, you'd be perfect for this. Why don't you audition for that? And then I'll book that job. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not just about the one goal at hand sometimes. I think if we all have that more of an optimistic approach to auditioning, to like, okay, how can I connect with people here? What value can I add to people so they can add value to me? If we approach it that way, then we will all come out of there much happier and much more experienced to gain from that.
Exactly. Oh, that's such a good point. Because sometimes we don't take rejection well. Like, it's kind of like, oh, you know.
No is my least favorite word. Oh my goodness.
But scary. If you are open in terms of the connections that you can make through that process, it might not be a no, it might just be a redirect. And it's absolutely so much based on relationships, and you can come away with something. Like, if you didn't get the job, at least you met some friends in the process, or you learned about yourself, or
you learned about the process, and you can prepare yourself for next year.
Exactly.
You take something away from it.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Before I keep you for the entire rest of your Saturday, are you ready to play Drop It Like It's Hot? It's just a little. Oh, okay.
I love it. Let's go for it. This has been amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Okay. Let's see. What is your favorite style of dance?
Ooh, hip hop for sure. Or jazz. Or jazz. Oh my God. Either or. Yes, both.
Okay. I'm going to get one little layer further, because I was not trained, but I do know that there are so many different styles within hip hop. Do you have a favorite style within hip hop?
I would say street jazz. So hip hop, but the jazz mixed together. Street jazz. Very specific.
Very, very specific. I love that. I'm glad I asked that extra layer. What is the greatest piece of advice that you've taken during your dance career?
Ooh. Always show up, period. Always show up. Say yes to every opportunity that comes your way. unless it feels wrong, unless it feels super wrong, always show up, no matter what. And I think that when you show up, you can always take something from the experience regardless.
Okay. Love it. So you told me your dream career in terms of Sports Illustrated. What is your dream dance career, or are you already living it? Do you have like some dream aspiration in the dance?
I think one thing that I would love to do that I'm something that I have always wanted is to go on tour. And I would love to do a full world tour. I want to go everywhere. I want to go visit every country. I love experiencing new cultures and I love experiencing other people's experiences. So I would want to do a tour. So being able to dance and do what I love while experiencing other cultures, dream. Dream comes true.
Do you have an artist that you would do it with? That is like the ultimate dream?
Ooh, you know what? When it comes to artists and dance, I've never had like a dream artist or someone that I've always wanted to dance with. I feel like, actually I do. What am I saying? J-Lo. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Like okay. I want to be J-Lo. I want to be J-Lo. Yeah. So it's definitely yeah. J-Lo.
Okay. In my mind, I thought that might be the answer. I can totally see that too. When I got to see your J-Lo performance, I was like, she's J-Lo. I mean, whatever. You're J-Lo. That's the thing. Thank you. You give me the vibes of watching, okay, so I'm this old, but, you know, A Living Color was on TV when I was growing up. And so seeing her as a fly girl, like, this is the vibes that you give off. I mean, like, and that was, like, in my mind, like, my favorite time of J-Lo's performances were in that kind of it's 90s, so of dancing. Course, like, she was dancing.
Ooh.
Yes.
You're going to make me go watch all those videos now.
So fun. Yeah, you give off that vibe, and I love it. Okay. Well, this might even be the same answer, but what actress would play you in your biopic?
Oh, I would say, J-Lo. I feel like it would be J-Lo. 100%. Uh-huh. I just have this connection to her and I don't know what it is. Like, that's one of those things that, like, I've always had a connection to her. So I would even like to play her in her biopic.
In her biopic? What?
Okay, you so never know. Are we manifesting this as well?
We are. Do you have an acting background too?
I do have an acting background as well. I love to act. I've actually done an out-of-town theater show. So I'm not really, it's not my first love. Dance is obviously my first love, but it's also something that I realized that I can use to express myself as well through performance. And acting is definitely one of the other things on my list of 100 goals that I have. Acting, movies, television is definitely on there. I see myself there as well.
I see it too. Okay.
Thank you. We'll get there.
Yeah, we're getting all of the things. You are so, multifaceted. Love it. Okay.
Thank you.
Where is your favorite place to travel?
My favorite place to travel? Bermuda. Bermuda is my favorite place on the planet Earth. On the planet Earth. Because I feel like it has that Caribbean, obviously it's a Caribbean island, so it has that, you know, Caribbean island flair, but that pink sand beach, oh my God, lay me there forever.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to get married there. 100%. And I might just live there for a few years. If you can't find me, that's where I am.
I'm going to have to add that to my list then.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like 100%. I'm all day long and until I see lizards and then I'm like, okay, maybe I can't do this, but.
That part gets me. I'm not going to lie to you. It'll always get me, but it's gorgeous. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Wow. Okay, adding it to my end. Okay, if you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family assume you had done?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I am like the epitome of like a goody two shoes. So if I'm not even going to lie, like I don't know what it would be, but I feel like my mom would assume that it would be like stealing makeup or clothes or something. Like that's definitely, if I was struggling, I'm running into Zara. Oh, I'm running into Zara and I'm hiding those clothes real good. I'm hiding them real good. If you catch me, that's it. My mom's going to know what's up.
Oh my God, I love that question. That was my best friend's favorite question when we were doing the podcast. I was like, I have to bring that one. So maybe this is answered, but if you could shop for free at one store, which one would you choose? Is it?
Oh, it would be Zara for sure. Okay. So I think they have just like a plethora of different styles when you go in there. You know, what are you feeling? You want a dress? They have the dresses. You need some cute cargos. They got the cargos. Although my other recent favorite store is called Dynamite. And have you ever heard of Garage?
Yeah.
It's more of like it's a garage. I think there are sister stores. Okay. But it's like kind of like the level above, like business casual garage. Their clothes fit beautifully. 10 out of 10. Recommend to everybody. Dynamite.
Hey, Dynamite. Hopefully, I don't know. I'm in Seattle. They probably won't get one until 50 years from now. But
For a while.
What's one vice that you wish you could give up?
What's one vice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know if I have one. Although I'm not gonna lie, I have a sweet tooth.
Okay.
So I have chocolate at least twice a day. I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty bad. But that's like the only like vice I would say that I have that I would need to give up because it makes my skin break out.
Yeah, if you have to give it up.
If I had to, I'm not going to, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. Vintage or new?
New. I'm a new girl. Yeah.
Okay. How would you define yourself in three words?
I feel like passionate, introverted, surprisingly. Okay. Very introverted. And I would naturally say loving or like something along the lines of kind and compassion. I don't know. My vocabulary is not 100% really good. Something along those lines.
Are you a Cancer?
I am a Cancer. Yes. I'm also very emotional. So yes.
Yes,
I'm a Cancer Leo cusp, technically. Okay. So okay. I have very Leo qualities at times as well. I like to be in the spotlight.
Yes.
But I will cry while doing it, 100%. That's the Cancer in me coming out. I'm going to cry while doing it, no doubt.
Oh my gosh. And I kind of feel that whole, like, the introverted part of, like, but also so loving and caring for other people. And then we'll, okay, not that
we
I'm trying to be
get each other. Real,
but I guess, right. Okay. This is an interesting one. I don't know if I think you'd have one. Biggest regret.
Biggest regret? Oh, I feel like I'm one of those people that are no regrets in my life because I'm a firm believer that, like, you know, something happens that's bad, I always take something from every experience. So I don't regret anything necessarily. Some things I wish didn't happen. Some things, I'm not going to lie, I wish didn't happen. But I feel like I wouldn't regret it because I still took something from that poor experience that happened to me. So no regrets, but definitely would change some things along the way.
I mean, you know, if we could do raid the magic wand, like things would just, you know, never get difficult. Things just go as planned. But if you have experience that maybe wasn't ideal, just kind of that willingness to face it, take what you can from it and not hold on to it where it's like, I regret this, like 10 years.
I'm a believer in that.
I love that. That seemed a little Debbie Downer-ish, so I'm gonna end on a good one last. I don't want to end on a super deep note either. Okay, would you climb a mountain or jump from a plane?
Climb a mountain.
Okay.
Ain't no way I'm jumping from no plane. I don't care. Maybe one day, maybe if I have a crazy change of heart, but I'm climbing every mountain. 100%. I'm going to be scared while doing it, no doubt. But I'm climbing that mountain all the way to the top. All the way to the top.
Kayla, I cannot thank you enough for this amazing conversation. Yes. I'm very appreciative of your time. I know you are a busy, busy woman. Thank you so much. This was like...
It has been such a pleasure. And like I said before, like, receiving information is one thing, but giving information is honestly so valuable to me as well. So I appreciate you giving me the space here to share my experiences, to share my thoughts. I feel like amped right now. I feel up, right?
I can climb a mountain right now. Like, I just feel like
I can climb that mountain right now.
I just feel so much positive energy and just like the information you're sharing. And it's not like you said about just like, ooh, somebody taking notes, like, because I'm want to audition for Brooklyn, getting all these jewels. It's like, no, it's beyond that. And you shared so much of yourself and the bigger picture of how we're all connected. And that's why I'm just really, really appreciative of getting to know you better. And I can't wait to come back. So this time, next time I come back, I'm going to like ask Priscilla, show me the holy grail of like how y'all map out your seasons, because I want I want to see it all. And I mean, I love seeing you guys perform. I got to get the kids in there one game, or you guys do anything like Soul Train level.
Absolutely.
I am not missing it. No way.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
I can't wait to come back to visit, but I hope you enjoy the rest of your season.
Thank you.
Keep putting on those shows night after night after night, and share my super duper love for your teams. Like, I
absolutely
amazing.
Thank you so much. Like I said, it's a pleasure to share myself, and I can't wait for you to come back.
Me neither.
I'm gonna send you that Soul Train halftime video. I got you. I'm gonna send it to you.
I will post it. And all this relish in it. Like, I hate Instagram and how they're making videos a little extra grainy these days.
Oh,
like,
they're the worst.
I can't.
They're trying it with us.
They are. Sure. Absolutely. But whatever. We're going to share it anyway. Have a wonderful rest of your afternoon. Thank you
so
much.
Yes, you as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. You can follow your favorite podcast on social media at Pro Cheerleading Podcast on Instagram, at Pro Cheer Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on YouTube, and you can support your favorite podcast on Patreon. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sidelines.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.